Welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. I'm John English, the Germs guy, and Alan is not with me, but we do have Devin, and we wanted to get something out because it is NBA draft night, and this so far has been an insane draft. As we're doing this, Caris LeVert just went to the Nets for number 20, so we're just getting live reactions to these. Overall thoughts on the draft so far? We knew it was a weak draft, and when you have a weak draft, there are some crazy names, but I cannot ever remember a draft this crazy.
Yeah, John, I called it. I think I did, because I believe I posted something earlier this afternoon that said, while there may not be a lot of talent, I expect there's going to be a lot of activity in this draft. And really, that's what we've seen. A lot of trades, a lot of proposed trades. And really, you know, there's a lot of talking between almost every team in the NBA right now, it seems like.
Yeah, I thought the Jazz would be able to buy their way back into the first round. And I still think they might be able to pull that off. But I think it's going to be harder since all the teams in the 20s are seeing how many good players are falling to them. But man, I hope they pull it off, because there are some guys that I wasn't crazy about at 12 that we were thinking of. But if they can get them into the 20s, they still might be able to get one of those guys that they were looking at. I mean, you have Scott Libicieres in the 20s. Deontay Davis is in the 20s. Deontay Murray's in the 20s. Furkan Korkmaz is in the 20s. And I say that one of these guys might wind up falling to the second round the way this draft is going.
Yeah, and like we had talked about before, it really doesn't make a lot of sense for the Jazz to pick 3 second rounders. So I would not at all be surprised if the opportunity presented itself to do a 2-for-1 and try and jump up either that early second round or possibly even into the first with at least a couple of those picks, maybe all three, you deal those and you try to move up.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they stand pat with those three picks. But man, let's look at the ramifications for what this is going to do for the West next year. One of the big blockbuster trades to come out is that Serge is now a member of the Orlando Magic. He was traded to them for Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova, and the number 11 pick, which wound up being Domantas Sabonis. I don't know what the Thunder are doing with that. It's a trade that I like and hate for both teams.
Yeah, and that's kind of where
Orlando's
I was at.
Getting a star. Yeah, I could, my brain, I was just like, can you be a winner and can both teams be winners and losers at the same time? Because I like the idea of Victor Oladipo on the Thunder. I like the idea of Sabonis on the Thunder. I don't like the idea of giving away Serge to get them, Serge of all people. I don't know what this does to Durant re-signing for the Thunder. I was confident 24 hours ago KD was going to re-sign. But this move just felt really strange.
It almost feels like a grasping at straws, doesn't it? Because you have a guy who Durant obviously has enjoyed playing with, and you think he's going maybe to re-sign, but let's say that they're leaning towards, okay, we might lose KD. We need to do something. And so they make the trade. They bring in Oladipo, which is an upgrade. They get Sabonis, which is a Sabonis. But of all the guys to trade, granted, they do not want to part with Steven Adams. That is not going to happen. But to me, it makes me wonder, did they even look at shopping Kanter? And I know I sound like a bitter Jazz fan saying that. But in actuality, they're giving up one of their better defenders and they're bringing in, I don't know, can Sabonis defend? Is he that? Because I know Ilyasova's not.
No, Sabonis isn't really known for defense. He's a flexible offensive player. He is actually one I felt would have been redundant on the Jazz since we have Trey Lyles. I see him as more of that type of player. And Steven Adams' defense has come along nicely, but Serge Ibaka really was just a key piece. I mean, going into the season, you would say he was the third best player on their team, right? I mean, so this feels like a James Harden trade where they got rid of James Harden 1 year too early, trying to be smart, and they outwitted themselves. And it feels like they're doing it again here by moving Ibaka, who does only have one more year himself. Maybe they figured that in order to keep Russ and Durant, they weren't going to be able to re-sign Serge to a big contract. But that's the exact same mentality that caused them to trade Harden a year early.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's look at some of the other things that have happened. You had a trade that went down, was it earlier today or even yesterday, I think, with Derrick Rose going to New York. Now, the reason I bring this up is we're talking about KD. Reports came out today that New York is going after Durant to try and pair him with Anthony, also Rose, and Porzingis. Do you think maybe reports like that have the Thunder hitting the panic button maybe a little bit?
Maybe. I don't put much stock in KD going to the Knicks. I actually had my mentions blew up because I scoffed at the notion. A lot of Knicks fans who go, well, hey, if Phil Jackson wants it, sure, KD will come here. At this point in his career, I just can't see him going to the Knicks. The Knicks have not proven themselves to be a solid organizational structure to go win a championship. I would think if KD left, he would either do the hometown hero thing in Washington, or he would see what the Spurs or Warriors want to offer him. Because I think he's at that point in his career where he wants to start winning rings, and they came really close this year, but I don't know how much confidence he's going to have in them going forward since they just gave away their third best player for a lot of great future pieces, but yeah, they've got to make another trade for this to make sense. Because right now it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't see Durant ending up in New York either. I'm kind of with you where San Antonio, the Warriors, I hate, but I can see it happening. As much as I think that is a terrible move for Durant, yes, he'll get rings, but it really just kind of says he can't do it on his own. And I know people are going to come after me and say, well, neither can LeBron, and you're a big LeBron fan. But to me, it's one thing when you go somewhere and you try to build the team at that time, like he did in Miami, and Bosch came down at the same time. And then he goes back to Cleveland and brings in Love, and it happens kind of at the same time. But Golden State, he'd just be walking into an already winning team just to kind of throw them over the edge. And personally, I hate that. One other option I would like people to consider is maybe Toronto for Durant. So, I mean, they're there. There are a few pieces away. I can see it being a good fit. But let's focus on the draft. What are your thoughts about what's happening in Minnesota?
Ah, Minnesota is nuts. Okay, so the story came out that Chicago and Minnesota were in talks for a trade. Chicago was going to send Jimmy Butler to Minnesota for the number 5 pick, Chris Dunn, as well as Zach LaVine. And Minnesota said no. And that is crazy to me. I cannot believe that Minnesota was the one who turned that down. Of course you trade Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine for Jimmy Butler. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And if they had done that, Minnesota, I mean, they'd be guaranteed a playoff team next year. I mean, next year, the Jazz and the Thunder would both be competing for like the 5th and 6th spots in the West. Minnesota's going to be pretty good anyway. But I don't know what Tibbs is doing in turning that down. I thought he wanted Butler, and I can't believe they felt like Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine was too high a price to pay.
and I don't know how you do that. Are you valuing a dunk championship more than the playoffs? Because let's face it, Zach LaVine is an athlete, but he is not a starting point guard in the NBA. And he's really not that great of a two guard. He's just an athletic guy. He's totally expendable. And we've talked about this, and everyone's talked about this. This draft class was a 2-man race. And after that, there was a significant drop off. And Chris Dunn was not part of that 2-man race.
I look at it this way. I mean, they'll be pretty good anyway with Chris Dunn, and they already have. I mean, they'll be pretty good, but they could have had a lineup of Ricky Rubio, Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, and what, Nick Pekovic?
Or me. I mean, I'd go play. Yeah. You know, they could put me in there and still win.
Yeah, and they had a lot of injury issues last year anyway. So, I mean, it's crazy to me that that trade didn't happen. I think Chicago fans have got to be relieved. I mean, they already lost Rose, and they didn't get that great a package, but, you know, Rose is really diminished. I mean, they got Robin Lopez, who's a decent player. He's probably better if he's your backup center than your starting center. And they got Jose Calderon, and
they got Jaren Grant, who I still think has a chance, but we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I think he just needed a change of scenery.
But here's the thing. Last I saw, they are still talking about this deal. So there is still a chance that this goes down either by the time this podcast is on the air or even later. You know, this could still happen. And to me, that's nuts. When they were looking at it and there was this talk about the pick, I said, no, don't trade that pick away. You'll regret it. And I said that because I saw maybe they're going to make a deal with the Sixers for Noel. And that I kind of went, I don't know. I don't know. You know what you're getting in Noel, and you're getting a good player, but maybe I take a chance if it's a one for one. But when you throw Butler in the mix, you're throwing an NBA all-star for a guy who's a role player and an unproven rookie who, let's face it, people aren't that excited about.
Yeah. You know who had a really good trade for their draft pick, I think?
Who's that?
The Utah Jazz.
Yes.
The 12th pick wound up being Taurean Prince. And while I like him as a guy for, say, the 20th pick, I can't believe the Hawks took him at 12. But yes, I definitely trade Prince. I think the Jazz are big winners in this way, even if they don't get back into the first round. I mean, the way this is going, they might have a stud fall to number 42. Just an update, the Hawks took DeAndre Bembry. And the Kings are on the board now, and the Kings made a really crazy pick at 13. So let's see who they're going to take at 22.
They picked a center out of Greece, I believe. I don't remember his name.
Oh, there went Malachi Richardson. Yeah, it was Georgios Papagiannis from Greece. He's a guy that I saw in a lot of mocks going in the 30s, and yet they took him at 13. Malachi Richardson at 22 feels the right spot for him.
How are you feeling about another team I want to touch on? How are you feeling about Phoenix? Because Phoenix made the deal with Sacramento to move them up.
I think Phoenix comes out looking really good. You know, Phoenix is set in their back court with Bledsoe and Knight, and you just need both of them to stay healthy. Holes in their front court. And so they got Dragan Bender, who's really promising power forward, and then they traded up to get Marquese Chriss, who's a really promising power forward who probably also can play some small forward. So you have two guys with really high ceilings, basically. Who knows what these guys are going to be, but they seem to be guys who will eventually be really good players. So I actually like the Suns pick. They were talking on the draft show about how Phoenix needs to win now, and I don't necessarily agree with that since they've been worse every year for the past 3 years. I think they'll bounce back this year, though. I like the picks for their team, and if Bledsoe and Knight are healthy, then I feel like they'll be back on the right track now that they've gotten rid of the Morris twins, and they can kind of try to become a real team again. I don't know about their front office, though. I credit them for getting this trade with the Kings. It looks like it's going to pay off, especially with what the Kings are doing with those picks. But, you know, I'm not worried about the Suns challenging in the West just yet.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, we've discussed it. We know the concern now is Minnesota.
Yeah. They also had a really good draft. I'm not worried about them yet either, but I thought Denver did a really good job tonight.
Didn't they take Murray?
Yeah, Jamal Murray fell to him at 7. And then they got Juan Hernan Gomez at 15. Felt like that might have been a little early, but then they got Malik Beasley at 19, so it really all works out. I think you know, they got good pieces. They got different pieces. Jamal Murray's a combo guard. Malik Beasley's more of your pure shooting guard, and then Hernan Gomez is one of those, you know, versatile power forwards from Europe. He's from Spain. So I thought that was a pretty good haul for them.
Yeah, but again, we're looking at where they would fit into the scheme of things next year. Like you said, not a concern, but maybe a team to watch, kind of like where the Jazz were maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Just kind of,
yeah,
you know, acquiring those assets and seeing which ones are going to pan out and which ones aren't. But definitely, when you can get 3 first-round picks, you generally should do pretty well that year.
Someone's got to hit. And, you know, the thing with Denver is they have a lot of nice pieces, and some of those pieces could still move into those in the offseason for something good. I think they would like to trade Kenneth Faried for something. I think when you look at Nurkic and Jokic, I think they'd probably like to trade Nurkic, and he's really good. It just happens to be that Jokic is that much more promising. So they could see what they can get for him. I think they're one of those teams where maybe they don't make the playoffs next year, but they're definitely chasing the year after.
I want your take on Boston, because Boston had, was it the 3rd pick?
Yes.
And
that was,
you kind of wonder, man. Like I said, with all the talks between Minnesota and Chicago, did the Celtics make a glaring error in this draft?
I think the Celtics missed out on getting Jimmy Butler, because what Minnesota turned down, Celtics could easily put something together if that's what they were willing to give away Jimmy Butler for. If the Celtics had just taken Chris Dunn at 3, I'm sure talks could have kept going and they eventually would have wound up with Jimmy Butler. But by taking Jaylen Brown at 3, that kind of blew it up. Jaylen Brown would have been there at 7. They could have traded down and gotten some other pieces if that was really their guy. And then at number 16, they took, I don't know how to say this name, Gershon Yabusele from France. He's a 6'8 power forward. He was another guy that I was seeing on a lot of draft boards going at like 30 to 35 range. So they are part of the crazy of this draft of guys that you thought were going to fall to the second round suddenly going in the middle of the first.
Now, with their first round pick, as soon as I saw that, the first thing I thought was Cleveland taking Anthony Bennett, I believe was his name, with the number 1 pick. Does it remind you of that at all, or is that just me?
Close. I mean, it's the number 3 pick, so it's not as big as blowing the number 1 pick, but yeah. It kind of reminds me of when they took Andrea Bargnani with the number 1 pick, where he was another guy where, like, really, is he the number 1? I mean, I'm sure he'll be fine, but is he really the number 1 pick? And Jaylen Brown's the same thing. I just saw him as a second rounder. Okay, Celtics to use 23 on Ante Zizek from Croatia. That's actually a decent pick for that range. Man, Jazz have to get back into this. Furkan Korkmaz is still on the board.
At this point, what do the Jazz have to give up to get back in?
I don't know. It's getting close. Maybe they're better off just trading the second round. I mean, there's going to be some value there too. I mean, there, as I look at all these names, there are some guys that all the mocks had going in the first round that are going to fall to the second round. I mean, Scott Libicière, why is he still on the board? Deonta Davis, why is he still on the board? Okay, they're showing highlights now. Yeah, so see, this is one reason why I loved NBA Draft Night, because it just always seems just fascinating stuff happens. Makes you rethink everything. That kind of exposes which GMs are smart and which GMs are questionable. I mean, Ainge right now feels like feels like he's trying to get fired with some of these picks.
It just makes you wonder. Not that he's trying to get fired, but there has been all this talk about Boston having all these assets and rebuilding and doing things the right way while still being competitive. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they're just kind of blowing it.
Yeah, they're going to stay competitive. They're still a playoff team. But I don't see them making any moves that are going to get them into home court advantage. And I feel like I hear all kinds of stories that they're trying to work deals, but they're just not happening. And at this point, I think, you know, Celtics have got to be wondering what's going on. You know, I saw a tweet earlier that showed the last 8 first round picks by Boston, and it was not a good list. It was a very questionable list. And so I have to wonder, I mean, this trade night, it just looks like a night where maybe the patience is going to run out for him, because I just can't tell what he's doing.
Okay, let's transition. We got to talk about another pick before we end this. Number 9 by Toronto?
Yep.
Big man out of Utah, Jakob Poeltl. How do you feel about that? Good fit for him?
Good fit. Thought he was going to land there for a long time. Gives him a little more versatility for their big man offense. I'm not exactly sure. I don't think him and Jonas can play too much together. But I think some Toronto fans, I saw that some Toronto fans weren't happy with the pick. But maybe they're just still smarting over Hafa Arujo from so many years ago. But I think he'll be a decent player. And it'll be nice for DeLon Wright to have a teammate back, and maybe those two can really make something happen up in Toronto.
Yeah, to me, I think that's the thing that's probably going to excite a lot of Utah basketball fans, at least Utah Ute basketball fans, is the fact that those two are paired up again. I don't know how much you'll see of them together, especially where DeLon didn't get really the minutes that fans probably hoped he would this season. Are you thinking that Poeltl's going to see substantial minutes, or is this going to be kind of a slow process to work him into the rotation?
Well, they're not going to start him, but I think he's going to get rotation minutes right away, as long as he's not screwing it up. I think one thing that bit Toronto late was they were questionable in their depth, and that ultimately was their downfall. And you got to remember, they're probably losing Biombo to free agency. I'm pretty sure they're going to try to re-sign DeRozan. Actually, I can't remember if there's any deal on that or not. But you got to figure Biombo's going to get paid somewhere else. And so they still want that other big man anyway. And I don't know. Is he more comfortable as a 4 or 5, you think, in the NBA?
You know, I don't know. I feel like he's more of a 5, but I don't know. He could surprise and have that outside shot and be a complete player. I watched him play at the U, and he always played great. Every time I watched him, he seemed like a very smart, willing passer, just a great team guy. But I don't know where he's going to fit. I'm with you. I don't think you see him and is it Valanciunas?
Yeah.
On the court at the same time that much. Maybe a little bit. And maybe they play with that. But from where I'm sitting, I don't see that as their game plan right now.
Yeah, I would think the plan right now is to have him earn the backup 5 spot and just start him out that like that and see how it goes. It looks like Clippers are taking Bryce Johnson at number 25. Still a lot of names on the board. This is such a weird draft. You know, the Jazz might... I don't know. I can't wait. When people are listening to this, they're going to know how everything turns out. I can't wait to see what the second round yields. There's going to be some steals. But, you know, an NBA draft night's one of my favorite sports nights of the year. And this year has not been a disappointment, even though the Jazz really weren't in the first round. It was very entertaining. I'm really happy with the trade the Jazz made. And, you know, I'm hoping they do some kind of movement in the second round to make it more exciting. But this has been a really, really good night, I think, just as far as entertainment goes.
I got to ask, people may be critical, and we've heard this before, because the Jazz don't make a move. Now, again, they did. They did make the move before the draft even started. But if the Jazz hold out and wait, and they're able to get someone to drop to them, maybe not making a move is the best move that they can make right now.
That's usually the line when they don't make a move. Maybe the best move you make is not making a move or not making a dumb move. They could decide that here. I think the Jazz need to make a move because they have 5 point guards on their roster now.
Right,
and
I agree.
So something's got to happen. So if it doesn't happen tonight, then come July 1st, once free agents start moving around, then we'll see something. I'd hate to see Shelvin Mack go for nothing. I would actually kind of hope they keep him. Trey Burke's definitely got to be gone one way or another. And then Neto, you got to see what you can trade for him. Or you see if someone wants, if you try to get a trade for Mac's contract, they're only with him a few more days before they have to pick it up. But Mac proved that he's a bargain at $2 million. And so even if they sign him, they ought to be able to get a good piece for him.
Yeah, and I saw, I think it's Aaron Hefner on Twitter was saying that Mac might be the more desirable trade value for other teams looking as opposed to Neto. And a lot of people are going to say, no, I like Mac more. But you have to remember, you're looking at your third string point guard right now. So if you can get something else in return for a third stringer, you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I look at some of these teams, like I think Sixers still have another pick. I mean, the Jazz could just trade Mac for the number 27 or whatever they have left. Or maybe a future first. You know, they like Mac, but, you know, I think he's worth it for some of these deep teams that are already playoff bound to get another good point guard. Who knows? I could also see the Jazz keeping Mac as a third and moving Neto and Burke. I'm more inclined to think that they trade Burke and Mac for whatever pieces they get into third point guard.
It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. But one thing is certain, we have to be happy that the Jazz did not go trading for someone that they really didn't need to overpay to get. Because there could have been someone they wanted at, you know, 20, and they're going to still have a shot in the second round potentially with the way things are looking now. So lot to look forward to the rest of the night, but we'll see how the second round turns out, and I'm sure we'll be following up on the entire draft early next week or sometime next week.
Yeah, I think we're going to go ahead and call it here. We've got other things we got to do tonight, but it's been really exciting. I hope you guys enjoyed our live reaction to this crazy draft. And looking forward to knowing as much as you guys do as you're listening to this, so the draft will be complete and we can analyze the rest of these moving pieces.
All right, everybody.
Do you want to take us out?
Yeah. Everyone, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Jedi and Germs, at Torn by Devin, at Germs Guy. And we'll throw a shout out to Alan at Jedi Zog. Check us out at tornbysports.com. You can follow at Torn by Sports on Twitter. And also, like our Facebook page, Jedi and Germs. And with that, Go Jazz, and happy draft night.
Bye, everybody.